Okay, so today I'm talking to Patricia Pearce. You live in Tolworth, so you're very close to us here at Radio Jackie. Good afternoon, Patricia, and thank you for coming on to Radio Jackie to talk to me. You used to work as a solicitor in Kingston, where you came across many families dealing with personal injuries, tragedies. So you now focus on helping people and make their end-of-life planning. What are the main areas of confusion for most people?
I think most people don't appreciate or realise how important it is to have things like lasting powers of attorney or even having a will in place, actually, because they always think, oh, well, I can leave it until I'm much older, irrespective of not knowing what life's going to throw at them, really, in the future. And so I believe that having things like lasting powers of attorney and a will in place is empowering, actually, for people, because having both of those in place allows them to dictate to people around them and their families what they want for their future. If they're incapable of making those decisions, or if after they've died, of course, they want to distribute their estates.
So let's go back to lasting powers of attorney, because I think that throws up a lot of confusion for people, because there are more than one type. There's a lasting power of attorney for finances. There's a lasting power of attorney for health. How can people be guided through this myriad of confusion?
Well, I know that people actually can do it themselves online, which a lot of people do. But I do think it's important to get advice on it, because if you are knowledgeable on lasting powers of attorney, you can help guide them through it, of the importance of things like, particularly in the health and welfare lasting power of attorney, as to what decisions you want your attorneys to make if you're not capable of making them, insofar as life-sustaining treatment, for example, you know, whether or not you want them to take the decision, or whether you want to leave it to your clinical clinicians to take the decision. But I suppose, in one sense, what I like to say to them in this regard is that being an attorney is them standing in your shoes. They're in your shoes. So if you direct them, saying, for example, perhaps you don't want to have blood products or something, and you feel quite strongly about that, then you can say in your health and welfare, I do not want to have any blood products, given to me if I'm ill and I haven't got the capacity to state this. And actually, the attorneys will have to abide by that. Or other things, they can say anything which they strongly believe in and want to be upheld if they don't have, as I said, the capacity to say things like that.
There's an awful lot of power if you are a lasting power of attorney, especially in health, also obviously in finance too. There's often squabbles within families. How can you advise people who come to you and say, look, you know, I've got three children, they're all squabbling. One of them says it's not fair that the other one's got lasting power of attorney, and they're all squabbling amongst the decisions. What's advice you can give them? Because it does happen a lot, doesn't it?
It does happen a lot. Well, we'd say use somebody independent, actually. We'd say probably use a very close family friend of yours, not necessarily of your children, so they're very independent and have your interests at heart. Many people do that. Or you could even have a professional attorney if you think that they may serve you better. So either way, you do have choices. It doesn't have to be a family member.
And can you explain the role of a trustee in the estate?
Well, you know, if it was a trustee, it's usually a professional one. So quite often, for the health and welfare, that you have professional bodies like the solicitor acting for you, if you knew them well, would be able to perhaps be a trustee for you. I think it's always important that it is somebody who knows you. And, you know, if you've had dealings with people before, they'll kind of know where you're coming from. And if you have strong opinions on everything, they will abide by that.
Thank you for that. There's lots of choices available to plan your end of life, and you sometimes come across an elderly person who actually says, and I've heard it said before, well, I'll be dead, you can sort it out. And they put their heads in the sand and they don't want to talk about end of life, because end of life is like taxes, it's going to happen at some stage. How do you guide a family member or the person through this?
Well, it is tricky, actually, but one would hope that if they've asked you to come and advise them on that, that they'd be receptive to it. And I think all you can do really is tell them the advantages of doing this and how actually it is the best gift that you can give to your family is to have all your affairs in order, where you have made your decisions about your future, whatever it holds. None of us know. You say elderly, but actually can affect anybody in their lives, can't it? Nobody knows what's around the corner. You could go out on your bike and have a terrible accident and sustain a catastrophic brain injury, but you needn't necessarily be elderly. So it's not just for the elderly. I mean, anybody could lose capacity. And actually also you could have perhaps cancer or something like that, actually, in which case that you may be undergoing terrible chemotherapy treatment and can't even think about your affairs. But if you have a lasting power of attorney, somebody can take over for you, even just a short period, and then once you've recovered you can take it back again. Having a lasting power of attorney doesn't mean that immediately it's been registered with the Office of the Public Guardian that you have to relinquish everything, because you don't. The only time it comes into play is when you've lost capacity. So if you still have capacity, it's just sitting there. It's just sitting. You don't have to use it. Actually, I had an old aunt who lived till she was 103, actually, but she had total capacity, and she just used to boss me around and make me do things for her because she couldn't be bothered. So it does have its uses, if you see what I mean. You don't have to have lost capacity to use it. It's completely down to you whether or not you want to give the attorneys the power to use it.
That's really interesting, because I think a lot of people think that they've made a decision and that's it and there's no going back. So let's move on. Helping people cope with their grief, what are their coping mechanisms? How do you help them with that?
Grief, in what sense do you mean? Grief in what sense? By people losing capacity, do you mean?
I think grief in all senses, if they've had a loss.
I think all you can be is compassionate with people, can't you? And you show empathy and understanding. And I think that once you've reached my age, I guess, more so than if you're a younger person, you've been through it yourself. You know what grief is like. And I think just supporting people and being there and listening, I think that is so important, is listening to people and trying to avoid platitudes, because they never do any good, do they? And I think I've heard a lot that if somebody does suffer grief through a loss of a loved one, or, you know, somebody has died, then, you know, a lot of people kind of ignore them or avoid them, which is dreadful. It's dreadful because it makes them feel even more insular and with their grief, rather than being able to express it and people to understand it and say, look, you know, if you want to speak to me about it, that's fine. And they're saying, oh, no, I don't want to offload on you. But that's fine. That's fine. If it helps you and makes you feel better, that is fine. Then speak your grief. Don't bottle it up.
I think you just answered my last question, really, is that do people come to you as a professional, because you were a solicitor, do they come to your advice from a professional point of view? Do they come to you for advice on coping mechanisms, or is it a bit of a mix of everything?
Well, I think it sort of depends on what role you're playing. In my capacity, in the way I acted, I had to be a bit of both. You have to be professional, of course you do. You have to advise people, of course you do, and what's in their best interest, of course you do. But at the same time, you do have to show compassion and empathy for people, and an understanding that you do realise what they are going through, and you are there to support them through it. And I think, as you say, it's a bit of a balance, really.
Well, thank you, Patricia. That's great for you talking to me. Is there anything you'd like to add before we end this interview?
Only to say that you're never too young, never, ever too young. If you've got a family, you're never too young to get a lasting power of attorney. It just sits there. Do it. And then you're prepared for everything, aren't you? And everybody will be grateful. Otherwise, it's a big, long haul through the Court of Protection to get deputyship. That's all I'm saying. Thank you.
That's very, very wise advice. And thank you for talking to me this afternoon. Have a good afternoon. Thank you.
And you. Thank you. Bye-bye now.
Bye for now.